Call the June 14th committee to hold order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Aye.
Alderman. Alderman Mayor.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm is excused. Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
He's busy pushing his buttons.
Alderman Nelson.
Will be here shortly.
Am I on now or not?
You are now.
Well, thank you.
Now you pushed it and turned yourself off. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's do this again. When you want to speak, you push your button once.
Which one?
The little face.
The speaker.
It says green, but it's not green.
Just push it once. That sends a signal to Sandy that says, hey, I want to talk.
I don't want
Sandy to reaches over here and pushes it.
That's how it works.
So
only if I want to.
Okay.
But it's a quarter each time, though, right?
It's 50 cents. I'm not giving you a discount.
Okay, you're all going off.
Thank you. No. Item two is a continued discussion regarding establishment of the use of Franklin County Council Reference Manual, County Council Code of Conduct, County Council Rules of Order, Handbook of Wisconsin Municipal Officials, and plan update to existing policies, need for additional policies and County Council training professional development opportunities. Director of Administration, Steno.
Okay, just to give a little bit of a recap, we are continuing on from our previous meetings from April 19th and May 3rd. On April 19th, we did the kickoff, talked about the original draft, went through all the items that are in the binder. We have since added a few items. But then between that meeting and the May 3rd meeting, all of the council members provided comments and feedback on both of the drafts. We did document all of those into a couple spreadsheets. At the May 3rd meeting, we were able to get all the way through the code of conduct. And then the takeaways or the follow-ups from that meeting were that, number one, I was going to meet with Alderman Nelson to talk about that section he wanted to add with regard to ethics. We did that. There's a draft in here. I put together a red line version and a clean copy version of that code of conduct. And then we decided that we were going to talk about the rules of order after we were done talking about the code of conduct. So in your packet tonight, you have a red line version of the code of conduct. If it's okay with you, I'm going to work off the clean version just because it's a little bit easier to read and follow. I have had a few comments since the packet went out on Friday, so I was hoping to just run through those with all of you and let you know what they are. And then I can take any additional comments back after this. Then when we're done with the code of conduct, I think we can move along to the rules of order, do the same process. And then at the next committee of the whole meeting, I think we'll just need one more, hopefully. But then we'll bring back the draft on the red line and the clean copy of the rules of order and talk about how that will go from there. So I am now in the clean copy of the code of conduct on page one. There was just a number of what I'm going to call more formatting or style type items. The first one is section one in the purpose. The second paragraph, it starts out with the code of conduct has been created to ensure. The recommendation was just we change that to the code of conduct exists to ensure. And just stop me if you need me to slow down. In section two, in the first paragraph, the third line, it says the council. Sure.
So based on what you just mentioned a minute ago in this discussion.
Sorry, I didn't have 50 cents. Based on what you said a minute ago and based on how the discussion is going, then you're not anticipate this being approved tomorrow night at the meeting then?
That's correct.
So this will come back again. So we'll get another corrected version, so to speak.
Correct.
For that meeting down the road. Okay. Thank you.
Exactly. I'm thinking one more committee of the whole.
Okay.
Hopefully, but maybe two.
In other words, we should take notes, obviously, but we don't have to get the exact verbiage that would be approved. We'll
correct.
Get that at some point. Got
correct.
It. Thank you.
But just if you have any comments on any of these suggested changes, just feel free to let me know, and I will take notes on that.
Thank you.
So now I'm in section two, the very first paragraph. It's the third line down. It says the council has the responsibility to take the high road on intra-council conduct and to treat other council members as they would like to be treated. The suggestion is just to boil that down to the council is responsible for treating each other as they wish to be treated. down in section B of section 2, the third line, it starts off in the bottom, in the second line, it says every official has the right to an individual opinion, which, and it says should be, the recommendation is to change it to which is to be. So it would read that every official has the right to an individual opinion, which is to be respected by the other officials. Again, the very last sentence there, it says each official should work under the premise. The recommendation is each official is to work under the premise that all other officials are acting with appropriate motives. So you're not going to see this because these are comments that I've gotten back from the time the packet went out on Friday until right now. So everything that's in these two documents, the red line and the clean line, those are the ones that we talked about at the last meeting, and I made all of the updates.
But we're using the clean line now. But then you were talking right about the second page, item B is on the first page.
Sure, at the first page, yep, down at the bottom, section 2, B, down at the bottom, the second line from the bottom. So each official, instead of should work, is to work. So it's just making it a little bit more declaratory rather than possible.
So let's do this. As Ms. Steno goes through these changes, unless anybody has an objection, we'll consider them okay. Does that sound like a fair thing? Carry on.
Would you like me to start over? Now that, no, you okay? Okay. And again, really, like I said, it is just a formatting issue. Now I'm in section C on page 2 under honor the role of the chair in maintaining order. The third section, the third sentence from the bottom says, if there's a disagreement about the agenda or the mayor slash chair's actions, those objections, instead of should be voiced, are to be voiced. Down at the bottom of page 2, the very last sentence, therefore every effort should be made. The recommendation is to change that to is to be made. Yep, way at the bottom under section 3, the very last sentence starting with therefore, instead of the word should, the recommendation is to be.
Can we back up just one second?
Sure.
Section D, the use of electronics.
Here it talks about, and I don't care which way this goes, but it's in conflict with the page 4 of the conduct, where under section 6, under C, electronic devices, they kind of conflict with each other. One says no, the other one says, well, it might be okay.
So the rules.
And I don't know if you want to come back to that when we get to that section, but it's kind of.
Yep. For sure. So
either way,
the one in the code of conduct, which is what you see on page 2 of the code of conduct, the clean version, that D as in dog, use of electronic devices, is the section that we've all talked about here. So if that is approved tonight or okayed, then that would go into the rules of order under section 6, which is, I believe, what you're referring to.
Okay.
Under item 6C as in cat.
Okay.
Then we got that. So now I'm on page 3 of the code of conduct. I'm in the middle of the page, the very last paragraph, the last full paragraph before letter A, it talks about should an individual council member see a deficiency. On line 2, instead of he or she should communicate, it's just is to communicate. And then on page 4, section 4, the very first paragraph under in public meetings, I'm now on the second to the last sentence that begins with all members are expected to demonstrate. We would just get rid of the word expected and all members are to demonstrate. in letter A, just below that, there's a couple items. The first one is on line 3. So all members, instead of should, all members are to commit full attention. And then the very last sentence would be comments and nonverbal expressions are to be appropriate rather than should be. Now I'm going to jump all the way to page 7. Under section 7, the very first line, when communicating with the media, all members should clearly state, would just be changed to all members must clearly state. Then on paragraph B under that same section 7, council, commission, board, committee members, instead of should not discuss personnel issues, it would be shall not discuss. And then there was a suggestion on, so I talked to Alderman Nelson about the ethics session, and we kind of came up with this draft, but the very first bulleted item talks about public officials. Sure, yeah.
Can we back up a minute?
Then? Absolutely.
Page 5?
Yep.
Section C.
Okay.
I get all this and we go through the mayor and that certainly is appropriate. What if they're just flat out incorrect? It talks about disturbing or disturbing, really. But what if they're just incorrect? Can we do a point of order to the mayor to make a clarification or a correction? The first section is hallway noise and audio issues and repeat to clarify. That's one issue. But then if there's something, if they're off topic or if there's something disturbing, what if it's just plain incorrect? It seems to me that that should be a good time to correct someone. And the mayor does that fairly regularly. But
good cover.
If we know of something that just is flat out incorrect, should we not do a point of order to have that corrected, to put out information?
I know Jesse's not here, but I would say that point of order probably would not be appropriate just because now you're talking to the public and not
well,
the
through
body.
The mayor.
But
through the mayor.
I think you would say to mayor,
right.
Can I make a correction or whatever it is? So then I think it's up to the chair on whether you want to engage in a debate or a discussion at that time.
And I'm not even suggesting debating, but and it's not interrupting. I don't intend to interrupt anyone, but when they're done, if it would be a point of correction, if what they're saying is just inaccurate.
Should we just add that?
That's kind of what I was hoping you would say.
So something to the effect of inaccurate statements would be corrected?
Yes.
May be corrected.
But it would still go through you. But
as we all know,
yes.
There have been meetings here where everything everybody said was mostly incorrect.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to get into that.
But,
you know?
Yeah, I know. And that gets into the whole debate thing. And you can only present the information. You can't make them understand it.
So are we okay with May? So you're not required to do it, but you have the option? Okay. I got that. And then we're going to wait for the section 8-1 until Alderman Nelson gets here. And then the very last page, there was just a question on just above item number 7, the notice. It talks about the imposition of any of these penalties or sanctions will require an affirmative vote of 3/4 of the council. Just to clarify, 3/4 of the council would not include the mayor, so that would be a total of 6. And then 75% of that is 4.5, rounded to 5 members. So basically 5 out of 6 members. And I could just clarify that again in parentheses.
And just so everybody's clear, that's a simple math issue. It's got nothing to do with who sits in what chair. Just 3/4 of the vote means that there'll never be a tie vote. So that's right. So there's no subterfuge. Alderman Henn, push your button.
I have several questions regarding procedure in section 7, 8, and 9 and how they work together or not as it may, in my opinion, be. So, again, should we wait for Alderman Nelson to begin discussing that? Or should I bring that up now?
I would say maybe section 7 and 9 we could start with and see if he gets here by then. Because he really just added section 8.
Okay. Well, I guess then maybe in looking at section 9 in the enforcement of the code of conduct, I've read through this several times over the past few days, and just a few things aren't clear to me in terms of, does section 9 enforce the entire code of conduct, or is ethics enforced differently? I don't think that's clear here. And maybe I need a diagram, but I'll use this scenario, and bear with me, because I think it begs several questions. But if I were to have a constituent who comes into Sandy and says, you know, I think Alderman Hanneman, I saw her on the news last night, and she was talking about this development, and she said that the Common Council was for sure going to approve this, and then I heard the developer paid her some money. So we have code of conduct issues, and then we have legal issues. So then how does the city clerk then advise this person? And the person says, okay, well, I have my proof, and everything is right here. I'm willing to sign my affidavit. So how is that complaint forwarded? Because we have what is covered under state statute, and then we have what's covered under other areas of the code of conduct. So then I get confused. You know, does it become two separate complaints? And does it become the decision of the city clerk to determine if and what should be forwarded to the district attorney, or what gets forwarded to our own corporate counsel, or whoever is going to be the investigative body of that? So then when I look here in the handbook, from the League of Municipalities, I find something that makes it even less clear for me. And I'm on page 65, number 8, Enforcement and Penalties, where it says, no council, village board, or other governmental body or local official is statutorily empowered to discipline, sanction, or otherwise prevent a vote or other activity by a member or other official, because it believes the voter activity is contrary to that. So as I'm reading this, and I'm no lawyer, but I'm reading this to say we can't set up our own enforcements and censures.
So there's a lot of parts to that.
There's
question.
A whole lot of parts that I'm not clear about.
So, okay, let's start at the beginning. The very first question was the ethics, section 8 versus section 9. And yes, I think we could be a lot clearer that we have to clarify, and keep in mind we kind of just inserted that ethics piece
mm-hmm.
right at the end.
Yeah, that there's something that's really there's a big gap there that
yeah.
We're missing.
So I think we have to be very clear that the ethics section stands on its own, and the enforcement is just as what it says. I don't think the clerk or anyone else would make that determination. I think the complainant would make that determination.
Well, and ethics in the city is handled under Ordinance 2005-1835, which specifies it goes to district attorney.
And maybe we'd want to make note of that particular city ordinance within the section.
So we'll note that in Section 8.
2005-1835.
So we'll note that in Section 8. So, yes, I think those could run concurrently, but they would definitely be separate actions. And then code section 9 is enforcement of this conduct. And all of these possible penalties and sanctions did come directly from state statutes.
Okay.
So the council does have the authority to do that. I think where you're perhaps getting a little bit confused is when it talks about to prevent a vote or other activity. You're not doing that by these things. those are statutorily allowed remedies in these scenarios.
Okay.
If I might add, excuse me, Alderwoman, if I might add that it might be appropriate to take 8 and move it to the end so that people reading through this mm-hmm. would get to enforcement before they get to the ethics thing, and then the ethics thing can have its own paragraph that says this is enforced by.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is maybe we would okay. want to do kind of the ethics as like an addendum or as an attachment, knowing that it has its own enforcement. And we'll then make sure that everything in Section 8 is in coordination with our city ordinance.
And I am fine with that change, because I think then it tells the public that Section 9 refers to naughty behaviors, not illegal behaviors. And if you really think the behavior is gone... If you think the behavior has ultimately broken the law, that's when you move on to ethics and bypass the local investigative body.
And certainly the complainant could make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For now, yeah.
That's everything I have that we have gotten comments back from already. I just so you know, on the clean copy, I did do some last-minute formatting and things that weren't in the red line draft, only because the red line was getting quite busy as it was. But everything then, I believe, is clean in the code of conduct. So now any other changes that the council wants to discuss, we could discuss at this time for the code of conduct. The one thing I will tell you, the one thing I don't have in here yet is the quasi-judicial details. I've talked to the city attorney and as well as the city clerk, and we're going to just figure out a real quick and easy guide type thing on that. So you could just consider that maybe another training document.
Peggy, I want to address your attention to 19.59. Sub 9, just as a follow-up to our conversation this morning, okay. This afternoon.
I like that.
What?
I like that you have a good memory.
Sorry, Mike, I have control. Back on page 10, when you talked about clarifying the 3/4 of the council, just to further clarify it, can you add some other language that we use throughout the code, which is 3/4 vote of all members of the council?
I, as soon as you said that, I'm like, I should have mentioned that part, too.
Okay.
Not it's, members in attendance,
right.
But members.
Okay.
On the same issue, exactly the same issue, could we say the council comprised of the 6 aldermen?
I can even do the math in parentheses, just to kind of show what that looks like.
We like you, but
anything else on the code of conduct? And again, as Alderman Mayor said, this isn't the last time you'll see this. I will get these changes made, and then when we have our second draft of the rules of order, I'll bring this one back as well, and you'll all get to look at it again.
Do you want to just go back to ethics since Alderman Nelson isn't here? And with the council's permission, I'm going to send him a text.
don't think there would be any votes required.
Three quarters of the council.
There you go. So just to recap then, on section 8, I'm now on the bottom of page 7. The first bulleted point that I was talking to Alderman Nelson about, so we had written this up, and just to give you a little idea of the genesis of this, writing an ethics section is kind of tough, and so I did what any good person would do and find something from the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and pretty much paraphrase what they were saying. But in that first bulleted point, it's the original did not have the word employment in it. So it basically just said, specifically, this code prohibits local public officials from engaging in the following conduct. The first one being using their office to obtain financial gain or anything of substantial value for the private benefit of themselves, their immediate families, or organizations with which they are associated. After we went back and forth, I showed him the draft. Then he said, you know what, I really want to add the word employment in there. What I'll say is it is what it is. I think if you really read that elementary-wise, you would see that using their office to obtain financial gain would include employment. But I think just him wanting to clarify to add the word employment in there is kind of just like a double check. And then he did give me one more comment after the packet went out, and he said he just was looking to perhaps expand a little bit more on the definition or what employment meant. So that would read something like using their office to obtain financial gain, any type of employment including consulting or similar roles, or anything of substantial value for the private benefit of themselves, their immediate families, or organizations with which they are associated. So I'm down on the bottom of page 7, the very first bulleted item. It starts out with using their office. Okay. So right there in the top, the word employment. When I originally drafted it, that wasn't in there. I believe the answer to that is because when you say that you're using your office to obtain financial gain, employment would be included in that. We just, Alderman Nelson and I talked about that, and he felt strongly that we would want that word employment in there, which is fine. We put it in there. And then
it's not in the copy that we have, correct?
The word employment is. So we included employment, but the suggestion now would be in the place of employment, we would change that to any type of employment, including consulting or similar roles.
And this all applies to boards and commissions.
Dan, what's your
question? I didn't have 50 cents. So this all applies to all board members and commission members as well.
State statutes refer to them as local government officials.
And it does.
But it's collective.
Umbrella. Okay.
And my comment was just going to relate to the state statute section that the mayor referenced to you a few minutes ago about 12 months following no longer being an elected official. I don't know if you wanted to further that with the members.
Well, unfortunately, it refers directly to the, in this case, Stadium District Board. And even though it's under the section that says ethics for local government officials, employees, and candidates, it specifically says no former district board member for 12 months following the date on which he or she ceases to be a district, and on and on and on. So I don't know if that matters or not, but it's there.
I think there's a difference. I think it's in there.
Okay. That's what you pointed out.
So we can certainly clarify. Yeah, so basically what the clerk and the mayor are mentioning is state statutes goes a little bit further than what I've listed in statute 1959 and talks about a time limit after which you're official duties end in the next employment. So if we go back and verify that that's part of statutes, would you like me to add that?
Are we there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a concern on the surface because I see it as a little bit of a slippery slope because I think the way it reads, and I'll use the mayor as an example, should he not decide to run for office again for another term and make that decision prior to any upcoming election, that would prohibit him from maybe working as a consultant in the audiovisual field in which he has been a professional for many years. It reads to me like this kind of, because it could be construed, because if you have mayor or alderperson on your resume, I mean, it's kind of part of your work history. And so it really could be used against someone in the public office to not be able to get employment for 12 months after leaving here.
I don't think that's the
intent.
I think in order to have a violation of law, you would have to have, there'd have to be a direct tie-in from your position as an elected official to your position as what it is. I've seen cases in the past, and mm-hmm. I can certainly get some clarification from Jesse, and we can talk to him about that. But I think there's a large burden of proof that mm-hmm. actually occurred. You know, it's not something that's taken lightly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not opposed to it entirely. I just raise a big caution flag on that. Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, welcome.
John Nelson.
Welcome Alderman Nelson at 705. 704.
Welcome, John Nelson.
Alderman Barber.
Just, I don't know. Not that I intend to work after leaving here, whenever that happens, for 12 months. But I don't know how I would judge whether or not I'm in violation of anything with that.
Yeah.
I could have taken a vote 6 years ago and I was offered a job. And where, how would I know where I would be in a violation or not?
So rather than guessing, I'm just wondering if we can hold this until the next meeting and just talk about it with the city attorney. And I'll make sure he knows ahead of time what the questions are. You know, I can rattle off to you a lot of cases that I've seen over the years, and I can tell you the only ones I've seen prosecuted, if you will, are the ones that were very clearly ethics violations. Somebody made conscious choices in their position as a elected official that reflected on their private life. But I do think this would probably be a good discussion to just have with the city attorney so that we're all clear on what that means.
My interpretation of employee financial gain and the idea of putting employer into it, or let's say post-aldermatic responsibilities, would be is you've got, let's say we know red cap is coming, okay? And I'm a banker, and I'm going to retire. But now I'm going to pursue the financial, I'm gonna pursue red cap in regards to trying to put together that facility. And I will be compensated for that. That's where that would violate the ethics. It's asking me to, it's kind of like a, you work for a company and you've got you're in sales and you have associations and customers. You have a non-compete. This is somewhat like a non-compete clause. Okay? Do we want to enforce a non-compete clause in an elected position? You know, we can always reference this, but I see where you're going, Alderwoman, in regards to holding the livelihood of an individual at bay for a year. But this is only one municipality, okay? So do you have an obligation to stay somewhat clean with that one obligation because, you know, you had inside knowledge of it? That's up to the county council if you want to be that hard on an individual that has volunteered for 3, 6, 9, 12, X number of years. Okay? You can play judge, jury, and whatever. I would not want to lean with that extreme.
Just to bring Alderman Nelson up to speed, we went through the actually entire document, came back to yours. The changes that were recommended by you were received no objections until we got to the employment thing, which is generating some interest, which you're hearing in front of you. I also, just for your information, pointed out that there is a code of ethics for the government officials, 19.59, which has a paragraph, several paragraphs, 9 through, looks like 11, dealing with district boards and restricting their abilities to have employment related to what they did for a year, but we haven't found anything for us. Also, we also acknowledge that the city code specifies that ethics complaints go to the DA. So we're going to take Section 8 and put it at the end after the penalty section, which in this case is 9. So this is, so 9 will become 8, 8 will become 9. Alderman, push your button.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize for being late. I came right from work. Can you get a ticket? So just to kind of recap a little bit, I came in here listening to one of the points I wanted to bring up, which was a time frame of sorts, which would be, you know, in essence, a complete 100% transparency when you would have somebody that, let's say, was here making votes or decisions on a business organization or whatever to come to the city, and all of a sudden you find them working for them. I think if you do put a time frame on that, it clears that up. Let's say I retired from the county and I wanted to take the director, security director job at Strauss. You know, there should be, you know, a time frame, because it just, it clears any, whatever you want to put on it. But I think that's, it clears that up. And I don't think you're holding anybody at bay. I don't think you're holding anybody hostage, because you took this position for the betterment of the city, period. That's it. Not for financial gain. We haven't had a raise in 23 years. So none of us up here are thinking we're here to make a lot of money. Since 1998, it has not changed. And with that mindset, you're here for the betterment of the city, no matter what that is. And I don't think you should be jockeying for positions in what you're dealing with. And I think putting a time frame and putting a time on that is a great start, but it's about transparency. That's what I just want to mention on that one. Now, did we get, or did this go over the part of any restrictions with the cell phones or anything like that? Was that discussed yet?
Yep, but there's still time for you to make comments on that.
Where did it end up with?
All right, let's do it this way.
Mr.
Let's
Mayor.
Go back to that.
Okay. I yield. I just want to get that clarified,
sure.
If I could.
So we're on page 2, item D as in dog, use of electronic devices, and I'm in the code of conduct, the clean copy. So the verbiage that's written there is what we came up with after all of the suggestions and changes. I think the last change was to acknowledge, put a statement of acknowledgement that occasional use of electronic devices occurs for business purposes within the context of the meeting and is acceptable. And there's no requirement that the phone is off or anything like that. I think that was another item we talked about last meeting.
Thank you. Okay. So we're all good.
Except for we have to decide under that Section 8 ethics, under the first bulleted item. Right now, I know we're going to do a clarification on the 12-month issue or whatever that might look like in statutes. I'm also going to talk to the city attorney so we can come back and talk a little bit more about employment. Was there any other items that you wanted me to look at?
Under the verbiage of employment, let's say you weren't working directly for a company like that, but you were hired on as a consultant, or you had your own consulting firm and now you were now doing work for that. So, I mean, it's like you can't say they're going to play semantics. Well, I don't work for them. Well, you're a consultant. So I'm just what my goal here is to remove the elected officials from the businesses and whatever else that you could be trying to benefit from because of your position.
So I mentioned that we talked about this, and my suggestion on that was the word employment. Now I'm on the bottom of page 7, the first bulleted item. So in order to address that, instead of just the word employment, it could be something like any type of employment, including consulting or similar roles.
Good one. Thank you.
Month. I forgot what I was going to say now.
You said about the 12 months.
Yeah. So as far as the 12-month thing goes, are we going to come back to that? Are we going to revisit that then? Because I am in favor of that. Because none of us take this position as a stepping stone to better our careers. That's a separate issue. These are part-time, and we're here to serve the community. So I am in support of some type of that.
So I'm going to talk to the city attorney about that next committee of the whole. When we come back to talk about the rule updates, we'll make sure we have a separate discussion on this item.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other changes on the code of conduct?
Anybody? I see a total of no heads nodding.
Request permission to wear my mask.
After that sneeze, absolutely granted.
So if there's no other comments on that at this time, we can move on to the rules of the Common Council and the Mayor. So that's titled as Roman numeral 2B as in boy in the packet. And then just a heads up, we originally wrote this as a resolution, but the more discussion we've been having is it might be best to make both the code of conduct and the rules of order be one resolution. A couple of reasons for that. One of them, so that each new council, when they're seated and they have their organizational meeting, they'll be able to go through those together and they won't lose sight of one or the other. And then it's always going to be front of mind for an elected official. We don't ever have to have an elected official that says they weren't aware of it. So that would be the suggestion to, at the end, when both documents are ready, kind of write it up in a resolution format like you see here on page 1 of Roman numeral 2B. So that's just a suggestion for now. We can certainly talk about it, or we can go on with the changes and solidify that later. The last item that we need to talk about in regard to the rules is a document that looks like this. It's the very last document in the packet. It is, I believe, 5 pages, and it basically goes by page of the rules of order. and the suggestions that we had, and then the recommendations that I am proposing back to you. And then again, it, because there's not sections like there were in the other one, it's just simply page by page. Should we go through them one by one, or what's the best course of action?
Let's do it this way. On correction number one regarding title, any issues with the suggested change? Seeing no one speak up, we'll move on to the first whereas. Is there any objection to adding whereas as listed in proposed resolution? Alderman D'Andrea, then Alderman Barber. Hold it.
Alderman D'Andrea.
D'Andrea first. There you go.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question. You guys, yourself as well as administration has had an opportunity to review this. Which ones do you recommend to us, and which ones do you think are not necessary?
So that's kind of what the third column is, would be what staff's recommendation would be as far as adopting it. So in the first one with the title, the request was to make the mayor be part of the council and not call out the position independently. I think that's appropriate in most places, but there's some places where the mayor has a different role than the body. Correct. So I think we still have to be clear on that. So anytime there's not a distinguishment between the roles, I think it's okay to do it. Otherwise, we would keep them separate. I think the whereas one, that's the one to establish the rules and make sure that at the organizational meetings, each council has a say or has a chance to learn and perhaps adjust the rules and the conduct as desired. So I think that would be recommended. Number three is recommended.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, number four, I would not recommend changing because every resolution that we do for the city uses that same verbiage. So I would not recommend that one. Number five, same thing. We don't believe that it should be changed because the 24-hour notice is not recommended. It's a 6-hour notice. And then for a special meeting, it already says in the code that it's going to be 24 hours, so we don't need to establish a separate rule for that. There was number six was a recommendation. Certainly we can delete that. That there's not a whole lot of impact there. That's just when a member is absent. If they can't contact before, they could contact after. If there was some reason they couldn't, that's totally appropriate. And then the same thing with number seven. Number eight, the recommendation was to use excused versus absence, and absent being the one who doesn't make any kind of contact.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this one because I always talk about this. Since 1998, I've talked about this. The reality is your presence here is binary. You're here or you're not, right? And there is nobody at this table that has the authority to excuse anybody at this table except me and the two staff members, and me towards the two staff members. There are people, I'll head this off to pass, who believes the word absent is pejorative. I do not. My view is it's binary. You were here or you weren't. And since nobody here can excuse the other person, the word excuse implies that somebody does have that authority and granted it, and it doesn't exist. So, let me put it to you this way. If somebody thinks they're going to lose an election because the word absent was on the minutes, they're going to lose that election anyway. I'll answer that. Late, the question was, what about late? Well, we always note in the minutes the time that the person arrives.
And I texted the
mayor. So.
We didn't allow him to text back.
So, I would like to see 8 stay the same, but this is your document. Alderman Mayor. Hold on.
Alderman Hanneman had her hand up first.
Am I good?
Yep.
To that point, I think if we adopt the previous code of conduct that we've discussed, we are all to operate under the best assumptions of our colleagues, and that none of us would be absent without valid excuse. And not just, I suppose it's possible at some point in time in the future there would be an elected official who just decided to stop showing up for meetings. But I think there's something in place should that become a habitual problem. So there we have it. So I'm fine with present or absent.
It wasn't present or absent. It was excused or absent.
No, present.
Present.
I'll leave it alone. See, Peggy should just give me the handheld and I'd be fine. I think we're accountable to the citizens, and I think there's a perception if we're just listed as absent. If we're just listed as absent because we didn't show up for a meeting, it's completely different than if we're in the hospital with a medical condition or whatever it might be. And I think we owe it to our citizens to let them know that if it's an excused or we just didn't show up, there is a difference, and it could not that it would matter for an election. I don't think that's an issue, but it's an accountability issue. I think if we're here without reason, it's absent. If we're not here for a valid reason, we're only proving and showing accountability to our citizens who just see us absent. I think it should be excused or just absent or present.
Somehow, I understand the arguments. Is there such a thing as an explained absence versus an unexplained absence?
I've seen this happen both ways. It just depends what the council feels comfortable with. There are communities that do excused and absent, and they mean exactly what you just referred to. And there's other ones that have the opinion of the mayor that just say it doesn't matter, present or absent. So it really, I think, is a preferred outcome on what the council wants its rules to be. I don't think either of them are wrong.
Oh, Barbara.
On the first one up here, when you went through the first one, you said that this is where I got confused with what we just talked about in the code of ethics. We defined the council as 6 members. And now you're in this one, you're adding the mayor as a member of the council to make it more inclusive. So I'm just wondering where that language crosses over, or does it conflict?
So technically, in different places in state statutes, the mayor is part of the council. And in other places, there's a distinguishment between the body, the council as a whole, and the mayor. The crossover from the code of conduct was the voting. And that is different. The voting is different. The mayor will only vote in the case of a tie.
Then can we say the 6, the council members excluding the mayor?
We can say the council members, and that will exclude the mayor. And that's kind of what my suggestion was going to be, is where council is listed as a whole, it would be the mayor and the council. And where it says council members, that would just be the council members without the mayor. But we can be even more clear than that. My recommendation was to make the recommended change as long as it's not specific to the mayor. So there's some things, for example, we spoke a lot last time about speaking on behalf of the community. That's simply a role of the mayor. That's not a role of the council, so I would never interchange those items there. But then there's other things where the council listens to, hears public input at a hearing. The council includes the mayor in that scenario.
I could just see where if it came down to an ethics vote and someone said it's the council, they can refer to this and say, well, the mayor is part of the council.
So it couldn't be that for an ethics vote, because an ethics vote isn't going to be heard by this body. An ethics vote would go to the district attorney and then the attorney general.
For the imposition, then.
But for the complaint,
yeah.
That it technically the mayor would not vote on that because, again,
I understand that, but I'm just saying someone could say, well, the mayor should have voted based on how we define it.
So right. So where it matters, where there's a distinction, we should clarify that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay,
Alderman Dandrea.
No, I think Alderman Barber covered the topic. So,
So we jumped back to number one. Let's go back to eight. What's the wishes of the council? Excused or absent? Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Clerk.
Just to add to what the mayor had said on either present or absent. So we've not ever encountered it because everybody's been pretty good at letting the mayor and or I know that you're not going to be here. But I don't usually ask if I get a call and somebody doesn't volunteer why they're not going to be here. And if somebody were to just say to me, I'm not going to be at the council meeting, I don't say, what are you doing? Why aren't you going to be there? And so you're really just letting us know. If there's two people gone, one person happens to have the opportunity to call and say, I'm not going to be there, doesn't give a reason. And the other person, has an accident, but for some reason can't call me. Does that mean that the person who called me without a reason is excused and the person who didn't let us know because of something equally or more serious and they're marked absent? We have had meetings where somebody was excused and somebody was absent, and I think when the minutes came to be approved, that was an issue. And we made them both the same, and I can't recall if they were both excused or both absent. So I would say if you're going to start to do excused and absent again, then you're going to almost have to have some stronger criteria, but just my suggestion.
I see it, Dan. We've also had instances when we were doing excused absent where an alderman demanded to know where and why an excused alderman was not at the meeting. That was for political purposes. It's a slippery slope, and I would urge you all not to go down it, but it's your decision, Alderman Mayer.
We also, in another part, we said that we're to let the mayor or the clerk know as soon as possible. So if there is an emergency of some type, if someone's incapacitated that day or that night and can't let them know, they could let them know between there or the next meeting, or if something even worse happens to them, it would become obvious to the mayor and the clerk. And so by the time the minutes are published, I think it'd be easy enough to tell if somebody was excused or not. And we keep going back and forth that we're not accountable to anyone up here, but we are accountable to our citizens. And as Peggy puts in here, it shows accountability and respect to our citizens. And it is completely different if we're not here and we just don't show up. And you talked about an alderman demanding to know where somebody was. Well, as we've just been saying, we're not accountable to anyone up here, so it really isn't anyone else's business. And when someone calls in absent for work, for example, Most organizations don't ask why you're not going to be in, because that gets into other issues as well. It's either you're calling in and you're excused, or you're not calling in and you're AWOL. So I still think it should be excused or absent, but that is my opinion, and I am one vote.
I can live with absent or present. I think that's indicates it. I mean, if anyone is going to be called into question, you can explain it if you want or not. But the idea of calling in ahead of time to let them know or let somebody know, it's to me that has to do with whether there's going to be a quorum present for the vote. So we should let them know in advance so that we can identify that we will have a quorum or not present to act on any of this. So that's where I think that would definitely come into play without having to explain your situation or not explain it. And I would probably personally explain it just because that's who I am. But I think it could be very clearly just you're here or you're not. And that's no judgment of anybody as to what their reasons are.
So let me give you another scenario. So Alderman X calls me, and currently Alderman X and I are not seeing eye to eye on things. And he or she calls me and just says I'm not going to be in for the meeting. And at that point, because we're not getting along, and I didn't get a reason, I say, absent. Then the minutes come out, and it's World War III because I was behaving politically and put it down as absent when I called you and I'm excused. Who's going to make that decision? Under what circumstances and under what criteria? Alderwoman Hanneman.
To that very point, excuse becomes a judgment call. And while I appreciate very much and I take very seriously being accountable to my constituents, while I think maybe moving my child to college is a reason for me to be absent from a council meeting, there could be very many people who say, well, that is no valid reason for her to be gone. You know, who's to say?
All right, let's do it this way. All those in favor of using the word absent, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Now, absent, if you're absent, you're not
absent.
Specifying. Absent, sure. If someone does not notify.
No. Absent, period.
No, then no.
Okay, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
I'm calling the roll on, we're just really not calling the roll. You're just getting a...
Consensus.
Right,
an idea.
Well, okay. Well,
consensus
was absent.
Consensus is out there.
Okay. It's all good discussion, by the way, and I don't take any offense at what you said.
Well, I don't take any offense at what you said either.
But I just disagree. Now,
exactly.
Now you're absent. Peggy, still yours.
Okay. So did I hear that we're sticking with present and absent?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else on page one? Okay. Yeah, you did. So page two are items 9 through 13. The first one talked about under the presiding officer clarifying the meaning of contradiction or previous decision. And we don't have a recommended change for that one, as it's not meant in the context of a reconsideration, so I don't think that clarification would be necessary. Number 10, for the point of order, again, no staff recommendation. There's a different method to end debate by calling a question, so point of order would not make sense in this instance. So we're not recommending that change. Number 11, we're not recommending that change as well. Number 12 has to do with training and refresher training. We do hope that we can talk about Robert's Rules of Order, and again, a lot of these council documents at the organizational meeting each year. And it's a little odd here because we only have 2 out of 3 years where we elect new council members. Usually there's a organizational meeting every year with at least, even if it's a reseated, but a newly seated council member. That becomes really handy to have that discussion then, as well as even with people that are on the council repetitively. And then same thing with number 13. that has to do with the debate and speaking, and really there's not a staff recommendation on that. So there's no recommended changes to the document from what you're seeing on page two.
Abstaining. It's more clear in the body than it is here, but what are we saying about abstaining? That we still can't abstain? Number 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just doing page 2 up to number 13.
That's page 3. It's not
page 2.
No, page 3 is right there.
Sorry, because they were so short, I should have separated
okay,
them. But,
okay.
Yeah, all sorry. Right. That's on me.
Okay. I'm abstaining. It's in Robert's rules that someone can't be compelled to vote. And what if during the discussion you find that you do have a conflict and you decide that it's best in everyone's best interest that you abstain from the vote.
And you say, Mr. Mayor, I have a conflict. You get up out of your chair and you go sit in the audience.
At that point?
Sure, why not?
And what if there's simply not enough information presented and you're not comfortable voting one way or the other? There are times when we have a discussion, and this kind of means that we should have our vote predetermined before a meeting. We're going to vote yes, we're going to vote no, we're going to recuse ourselves to abstain when we're here for the discussion. Granted, 99% of all discussion goes on and all research goes on before these meetings, and we talk to staff and we talk to others about decisions we make, but still the discussion here is very important and very key to the democratic procedure. And so it certainly could occur here that through the discussion, we decide we need to abstain. And we have been sitting through the discussion all along.
19.7, paragraph D, every member shall have the right to abstain from voting on any given matter. Any vacancy on the common council should not, we don't care about that. So you can.
So I think the idea is this rule, at least as I've seen it in my past lives, has been more about not using it as a ploy to not vote. So typically, if you have a conflict of interest, you likely would have gotten that cleared up ahead of time. But if you didn't and something came up during the course of the discussion, you would immediately identify that and step away from the dais.
But how do you define that then? I'm sure that kind of thing happens, but I think the vote of abstain is much more used much more legitimately than not legitimately.
I think you're right. You go back to what we talked about respect and honoring the process in the body, and I think that specifically is about when somebody starts questioning the city attorney about, if this many people vote, then what will happen? And if this many people vote, what will happen? If you're having that conversation, you're probably not abstaining for the correct reasons. So I think that's the difference. But again, I think a body member can at any time come up with, if there's a conflict that comes up because of the discussion, they immediately raise their hand and they're out of there. I think that's very appropriate. So it would just be how the council wants to go forward with that. I do have, and I'm happy to have the city attorney talk about this one at the next one as well.
Let's do that.
And we can also pull out, I have 4 references in the handbook that it talks about those very things.
Okay.
And why you might want to have a rule like this in place. So that's a good discussion item.
Thank you.
By the way, in my career here, I've seen abstentions used as a weapon, as a dodge, and legitimately. And we've seen it lately as well. So, anyway, Okay, Peggy, we got, that did 15. Alderman Barber.
I can see where I can come to a meeting. I've read all the materials. I know what's out there, and I still have an opinion I want to share with the group. I share my opinion. Then as the discussion proceeds, I find out that I did have, there is a legitimate conflict. What?
You would just excuse yourself at the point in which you...
But I've already said, I've already maybe went as an opinion before knowing that.
But you can't undo that.
You can't undo that, so there'd be no...
Ethics tells you to do it when you decide there's a conflict or when it looks like there's a conflict. You take action immediately. It's the best you can do.
Okay.
So then we're on page three, and then that was 14 and 15. We've talked about 15, and then 14 was just... contacting the department head as opposed to staff members. Anything else on there? Page four. The first one is the attire, the proxy, and the electronic devices. I think the proxy is pretty clear. If there's any changes on the attire, or like I said, for the electronic devices, 6C as in Charlie, we would go back to using exactly what we use in the code of conduct.
Alderman Nelson. Push up. Okay.
Just a question, and I'm not looking to point fingers at Alderman Dandrew, but I will just for this example. Just because he didn't give me a shirt for 2021, so I'm angered. So, where it says no...
Your position for personal gain?
He won't let me get in his gig.
I'd like to abstain from this issue.
There you go. So, my question is, with attire... just to clarify, you know, with summertime, you're wearing, you know, polo shirts and things. I normally would wear a shirt with perhaps the Nike logo or the Under Armour logo. Are we looking to be that micro that you can't wear that? Or are we looking at, we don't want to say, I just want some clarification if I got to change up my hot summer wardrobe.
We're just looking for not left-handed meows shirts. To the Central Park.
Got it. Thank you.
I just came from work.
We're all adults.
Okay, then we, number 18, it talks about just again a suggestion to add that the council may have, you know, a support the Packers or Brewers, Bucks, whoever, fill in the blank, some local team, to add that. Is that something the council wants added?
I'm okay with that, but it's up to you guys. Alderman Barber, push.
The condition that I can see is I'm part of Volition, and when Volition comes to this council meeting, I would wear and support their activities or whatever they're involved with in the meeting. And be wearing a Volition shirt. Now, is that promoting? Is that sponsoring? Is that?
So what you're saying is 18 is okay.
By you. Anybody object to 18 being included? I don't see why anybody would. But okay, 18 goes in.
Okay, then we are under confidential information. There was a suggestion to combine section 7 and 12. The recommendation is not to combine those. Because sometimes confidential information is provided outside of a closed session. So we just want to make sure we have our bases covered on both of those. Under rules of decorum, it was talked about with the social media, if that would be something. We are looking at creating a social media policy for the city, for city information, but we also added the section of social media to the code of conduct. So if it would be appropriate to add that here, I would do that. And then it was, I don't know really what 21 does, to be honest with you. For me, it would be hard to add it and be objective about it. It actually hits on the top of page 5. It's part of the general rules of decorum. So it refers to somebody being offended by something, and I think defining what's offensive to all six or seven of you would be very difficult to do objectively.
Being offended is, in this day and age, is a sport. I don't know that we should put that in this document. Who's the judge? It's up to you guys. And of course, Alderman Hanneman knows when I say you guys, it's inclusive, because I'm an inclusive kind of guy. Anybody want to add that change? Okay, we move on.
On page 5, this refers to, number 22 refers to the rules pertaining to individuals addressing the council. There was a recommendation to just display what would be expected. We could do that, perhaps put something on the wall as well as at the podium, and then maybe even an announcement if it's a larger issue at the meetings.
I will say, though, trying to drag us into the 90s with the remodeling, I'd prefer not to hang more signs up here, but it's up to you guys.
So we can also have a stack of, just with the agenda, we could just have a stack of documents that just say, hey, when you speak to the council, here's the rules of etiquette, and that seems to work as well.
Alderman Hanneman, push what?
Or we could just, prior to the start of the meeting, have them rolling on the screens or something like that. You know, that'd be easy, too.
We'll figure it out.
Number 23. It just talks about the general rules of decorum to be posted. Rules, again, related to 22.
Peggy, let's just do the ones there are issues with. Unless somebody's got an objection to that. No.
The only one with a question would be number 24. So statements are limited in the rules, in the draft rules, it says statements are limited to issues that have an impact on the city of Franklin and issues that the Common Council may address at a current or future meeting. There was a suggestion to remove that and just let people come up and talk about anything they wish.
Where is
that? It's in 9B as in boy. So for citizens to come up at comment period, they would want to limit their issues to something that has an impact on the city of Franklin or that the Common Council may address at a future or current meeting.
The suggestion is you can talk about anything you want at public comment as opposed to it's got to relate to the city.
I think it's kind of that way already, isn't it?
You can say whatever you want.
That's what I like.
So it's up to you guys. Okay, any objections to changing that language? I don't see any. Okay.
So just remove that.
Push your button, John.
So just for clarification, so a citizen comes here, they can speak about whatever they wish.
That's what I was just going to
clarify.
Yes, I
agree.
So they can come and they can talk about what's happening up in the Northwoods if they'd like to.
Thank you.
I think it's time now to let everybody, remind everybody that this is not, the work you have in front of you is not an original document. It's cut and paste from several different communities, so there was no attempt here to silence anyone. It just came across when it was cut and paste. So there you go.
Anything else on page 5?
You just look older now.
He's not that good looking. Mike's got a point. Just one of the things that I kind of observed, and I've, you know, allowing members to comment or attempt to answer questions during citizen comment period, that can be hit or miss depending on how contentious the attack is on one of us. And the mayor has been, and I'll be very honest, I mean, I've seen him defend us, defend the city. And although I enjoy defending myself, I would like the opportunity at times to do that. And I know it's tough. We sit back here when someone's coming at us with complete falsities about something and something so far off base that it needs to be addressed. And I think that's what I would, you know, like to continue to have the opportunity to address with the mayor's approval. Not that there's going to be this banter, but just when somebody comes with a blatant, you know, misconception or whatever it is, and they gun right at you, and then we just sit here, it almost seems like we're agreeing with them or that we're accepting what they're saying. And I think sometimes people need to be to know the truth. And if it takes
great minds think alike, and Alderman Mayor had suggested that a little bit earlier. So
in
the
code
of conduct on page 5 up on the top, letter C, we're going to make a note that inaccurate statements may be corrected. We're not saying shall because it's not required. So if you had a whole room full of people, you wouldn't have to do it.
Thank you. I yield.
A lot of times. Page 6. So the first one.
Yep. Just speak to that. Anyone can get up there and say anything, and it can show up in social media 2 minutes later as being said in council. So I think that is kind of where, in this day and age, you want to be a little bit guarded about the falsehoods that are coming out or being thrown out, because social media will pick up and run, and they'll be out there, and we've seen that happen ever in the last year. So I think we have to have the ability to counter any kind of blatant falsehoods that are being given forth.
Absolutely.
We've all worked together now for at least a year, but many of us lots longer. I'm not going to let somebody take one of us to task inappropriately. I'm just not. But I also don't want to have this being a back and forth, because sometimes it's better just, as the city attorney often tells me, don't engage. So... And Lord knows, I've never been misquoted in social media, so, you know.
Okay, page 6.
Hold on.
Oh. One additional question. I mean, granted, we are in the council, and we're on the council, but what excuses us to go up and make a public comment? If we want to rebut or say something, what excludes us from excusing us and saying, I want, because we are citizens of the community, what restrains us from not going up and letting our opinion stated?
Do you recall at least one closed session back in November? That was in part caused by one of those actions.
Was I there? Was I excused?
You were there. You were there for all of it. It gives me an opportunity to say this: standing up and saying I'm speaking as a personal, on a personal nature, and I'm not an alderman. It's a distinction without a difference. You are always an alderman when you're elected. Okay. So standing up and going down there to me, it's still inappropriate.
So it doesn't matter if, well,
this is me saying it. This is, you know, this is your decision, but you know, I'm not the mayor now. I'm going to blast somebody. Of course you're the mayor. Of course you're an alderman.
No. I'm not saying I want to go blast anyone. But what I want to do is add clarification. But you're saying is if I raise my hand and I would say, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to comment on this, would you grant us permission, as Alderman Nelson asked?
I reserve the right to say no, but I don't typically do that, as you know.
Correct. Okay.
But you all will continue to act as you have and respect what's going on around here.
Most of us are going to act with decorum.
Maybe some of you will.
And that's why I said most.
So I really didn't think this through until he was talking about it, but I think sometimes the general thought is, if you are an elected official and you can put an item on the agenda, if you're going to talk about something that isn't on the agenda and it just is something you want to talk about, that you should have, prior to the deadline, requested it to be put on the agenda so that the public knew it was going to be talked about at a meeting. So I think there's a caution that if you start talking aside from something that's on the agenda, that you're not following the open meetings or not complying with the open meetings law. But I'm like, as Alderwoman Hanneman said, I'm not the lawyer either. So.
But I play one on all. Okay. And I got cut off. That's good. We only have four more to go, so let's go through the last four.
So I'm on now page 6. The first one, 28, that requests, there was a request that perhaps maybe there were items that were being withheld off of agendas, depending on who the requester was. I have confirmed with the clerk that that's not the case. The order of the agenda, as well as the agenda items, are the things that the clerk receives, and then the clerk really decides for business purposes what order things are heard. So the staff is not recommending any changes on that.
Anybody want to make that change? Okay, we move on.
The next one has to do with submitting items, and it just says council members should be allowed to work with department heads, including the clerk and the attorney. Council as a body has the legislative authority. Staff carries out actions. I think it might be taken out of context to say that an alderperson can't call a department head or the clerk and say, I need to get something on the agenda. How do I best do that? Or even the city attorney. So I think that's a bit out of context.
So you heard that they...
Hold on, I'll push button, Mark.
So, Peggy, you would prefer that the alderperson contacts administration and asks for the proper format or procedure to get something on to the council?
We're happy to help.
Or the clerk.
We're happy to help.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to get into trouble saying this, but working something out for an agenda is a lot different than saying, hey, Kevin, I need a guy to come over and plow my neighbor's driveway out. Totally different thing. It's that you're not directing staff to do anything. You're trying to get some legislation done. So I don't...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't have a problem.
I had an issue. I just asked Glenn to make sure that the county comes through and whacks down the weeds on 76th Street. I mean, we've done that year after year after year, and I know that some of the owners on 76th and Side Road say, I just asked, hey, can you make the phone call?
Yeah, but you were directing staff to do something. You shouldn't have done that, but, you know, that's one of those things where, come on.
Because
you got something done, it's fine.
If I didn't ask it to be done, it would never get done because...
No, the procedure you should have filed a complaint.
Yeah.
Or you could have just contacted the mayor.
Or you could have called me.
Yeah. Hey, can you come over and whack my weeds?
That's not what I was thinking.
Do not engage. Alderwoman Hanneman.
Well, a follow-up to that. What Alderman Dandrea was just discussing. And I had a situation just today, and I know we're getting down to semantics here, but I had a constituent contact me over the weekend noting two streetlights burned out in his subdivision. And so I just forwarded it on to Kevin. I said, got this. I didn't file a complaint. You know, have your staff check it out when you're out and about. So, you know, I didn't want to say, you get out there and do this right away, but...
Let's not get tied up in the minutia, because we all know what...
I'd like to not, but...
But on that specific one, yeah. You don't even need Kevin. Send it to Andrea. Just send an email to Andrea Stormone, and psh, off it goes.
Okay.
Because we all know who really runs these departments, right?
True.
Doesn't We Energy?
But Andrea calls them in.
Yeah, just say send it to Andrea?
Yeah, send it to yeah. Peggy.
So then the next one, number 30, that would just be, there was some concern that there wasn't equity depending on which developer you were. I think if that would happen, there would certainly be a method, i.e. point of order, to raise any special concerns if the mayor was allowing somebody to talk more than another person or give a longer presentation than another. There's a process in place to handle that. And then the last item under, it's on page 6 and page 7, but the specific one talks about, second, there was a concern that a council member would not be included to participate in closed sessions by the mayor, and that's not a choice of the mayor. We could make a clarification that just says the presiding officer determines who other than the council is allowed to participate. That's all I have.
Any other questions for the Director of Administration? Otherwise, tomorrow evening, we'll just ask that you refer this back to staff for the additions and corrections as discussed.
So as we mentioned earlier, we're thinking one more committee of the whole, just to throw out maybe a couple dates. We do have the 4th of July on the first meeting of the month, so we can't do... I'm happy to come in if you are, but so the holiday is the day before the council meeting, so we would then be left with July 19th, which is the Monday before the July 20th meeting, or if we wanted to make sure we don't get in the way of any committee meetings, we could go for August 2nd.
No, we just need to keep going, that's all.
Well,
let's push it out then.
Yeah, let's push it out then.
Push it out to August 2nd or later?
Later.
That's a good question. What does your
agenda look like going forward? We're going to be going into the budget soon. And everything else.
We got to get it done before the budget, and that's coming up starting in August.
So let's just keep it rolling. You know, if Alderwoman Hanneman is not, she's usually very prepared, and she'll send you her input via.
National Night Out, I think, is August 3rd.
Yes.
And most of us participate in that.
How about if we do this? How about if I get for the July 20th council meeting, how about if I put the two drafts on there in their current state? And we can talk about if August 2nd is doable for completion.
Do you want red line and clean or just clean? Clean, clean, clean. Clean. Alderman Mack.
Do we really need another committee of the whole? I mean, I think we've pretty well hammered this out, and if we've made ourselves clear tonight and we get this in writing and we see it ahead of time, do we need a committee of the whole?
I'd like to say no, but I don't want to take away anybody's, you know, rights to say something. So how about if we do this? How about if I put in the packet for the July 20th meeting and then I give you a one-week window that you can get back to me and say, yes, we're pretty clean, we can take care of this at a council meeting, or no, we can't.
Okay.
That works. Sounds good. Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Nelson and Hanneman, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.